Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Rambam, Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Nezirus, the laws of the Nazirite person, Perek Revi, chapter 4. This chapter is an especially intriguing chapter for those with legal minds. Ha'emer, if somebody says, Hareini Nozir, I take upon myself to become a Nozir. Hareze migaleach tiglachas tahara. One of the basic rituals of Nozir is that at the end of 30 days, because an unspecified declaration of becoming a Nozir is 30 days, at the end of 30 days there has to be a shaving or hair-cutting ritual, and that is the demarcation going from the state of being a Nozir to a state of being a non-Nozir. So he has to make this tiglachas tahara, this hair-cutting ritual of purity, yeim echad ushleishim, on the 31st day. Why? Because he had 30 days of being in a state of Nozir, and on the 31st day, he cuts his hair. Now, I do want to point out, parenthetically, that when we talk about hair cuttings, there are two kinds. One is upon successful completion of the Nazirite term. The other is upon unsuccessful ending of the Nazirite terms. For example, if the person becomes accidentally exposed to death. So it's over. And there is also a hair cutting, but that's not the good one. Here, the term is over, 30-day term has ended. On the 31st day, do the ritual called Taglachas or Tiglachas Tohara, the hair cutting ritual of purity. Now he says, V'im gilach b'yem shleishim, what if instead of waiting till the 31st day, he did it on the 30th day? Is that okay? He did not observe 30 complete days. Yotza, he fulfills his obligation. And the commentaries say, because we say, as we do in so many other areas of halacha, miktzat hayom kikulo, a part of the day is like the whole day. For example, God forbid when somebody is sitting shiva, in the morning of the seventh day, right after prayers, the Shiva ends. Miktzat hayom kikulo, a part of the day is like the whole day. So also here, it's better to do a whole 30th day. But if he cut his hair on the 30th day, as we say in Yiddish, nish geferlach, not so terrible. Miktzat hayom kikulo. Hareini nozir omar, if he said, hareini nozir shleishim yayim, but if he didn't say, I am a Nozir, which means a general term of Nozir, which is 30 days, but he specifically uttered the words 30 days, that's a problem. Then he must observe 30 complete days of being a Nozir. Now comes the complex stuff where I said, you need to have a good legal mind. Beis. Misha nodar shtei nezirus. What if somebody took upon himself two different pledges of nezirus, of being a nozer? Megaleach esarishena b'yem echad ushleishim. That's pretty simple. The first haircut is on the 31st day. V'esashnia b'yem echad ushleishim. The second haircut is on the 61st day. Why not the 62nd day? Because the day of the first haircut, meaning the 31st day, can be counted as the first day of the second set. And if he cut his hair on the first set of being a Nozir on the 30th day, then he can do the hair cutting second time around on the 60th day. And if he did the 59th day, which is really the 30th day, because the 30th day counts for the second Nezirus as well. Now, what if somebody utters two declarations of Nezirus and they are conflicting? How does he do that? Gimel ha'omer, if somebody says, areini nozir, I take upon myself to be a nozir. So he's taken upon himself a pledge of being a nozir. What does that mean? That he becomes a nozir immediately for 30 days. And he takes upon himself a second pledge that he's going to become a nozir if and when he has a son. Two separate pledges. Now, obviously, the moment he said, I take upon myself to be a nozir, the moment I have a son, he didn't have a son. So in that case, the first statement kicks in right away. He becomes a nozir. His regular nazirus, he said, I take upon myself to become a nozir, kicks in. So he's now a nozir. And then in the middle of his nozir term, his wife has a baby, mazel tov. So now he has a second obligation. He has to now become a nozir because he had a son. But he's in the middle of being, of observing his own set of days. Mashlim eshalei, so the prescribed process here is, he finishes his term, and then, after he finishes his term, he takes the term which he undertook for his son. However, if he first said, Hareini nozir kishiyer li bein, I take upon myself to be a nozir when I have a son. So that obligation came first. Then he said, Vahareini nozir kach v'kach yeim. And second declaration, I take upon myself to be a nozir so many and so many days. Second declaration, V'hischil b'nazirah shalai. Now, he didn't have a son. So he began his own declaration, which was, he began the observance of his own declaration, which was the second. V'achakach neilud leben. And then in the middle of that cycle, in the middle of that term, he had a baby. He had a little boy. So what happens? The commitment, the vow to become a nozir when he has a son came before the other vow. So it has to take hold before. The problem is he's in the middle of observing the second vow. What do you do? Houston, we got a problem. Pesik nazir shalai. The halacha is, the Rambam brings down, he stops his nazirus, or as I say, he pushes the pause button. He says, pause, my nazirus, pause. Umeina es shel b'nei, and he begins the nazirus of his son. V'achakach, when he finishes the term for his son, chayzer umashlim es shalei, finishes his. Now, are there any haircuts in between? No, they're all observed like one long term. Lefikach, therefore, now the plot thickens. Im nitma b'seich nezirus shel b'nei, what if during the cycle, during the term of his fulfillment of his vow to be a nozir, in honor of the birth of his son, he becomes defiled, he becomes impure. He's standing in a room minding his own business and somebody dies. So he's now been exposed to death. What happens, as we will learn in great detail, Seiser HaKeo, the whole process of Nazirus becomes nullified, undone. That's what exposure to death does to a Nazir. His and the sons, or the sons and his. However, nitma achar nazirus b'nei, what if he becomes defiled after he finishes, let's say, the 30-day cycle for his son, and then he goes back to his cycle, kishehischil hashlim nazirusay, and the defilement came when he went back to his cycle to complete it, ein aseser ela ad nazirus b'nei, he only undoes his leading up to the time of the nazirus of his son. Because the nazirus for his son was observed in totality. How many days does he need to complete his nazirus? Let's say he had a 50-day nazirus. And he observed 30 days. Then his wife had a baby. Then he observes the 30 days Naziris for his baby. Mazel tov. And then he pushes the pause button again. How many days does he have left from his 50? 20. That's a problem. Because 20 days can never be a Naziris. If there are 30 days or more left, that's fine. Then he finishes the Nazir cycle for his son. And he picks up the days. So let's use the example of the guy undertook 50 days. He did 20. Then his son was born. Now he has 30 left. Good. But if he has less than 30 days left after he completes the cycle for his son, let's say, as in my example, he only has 20 days left. Even though he only has 20 days left to complete the cycle that he undertook for himself, he must count 30. Because there is no such thing as a 20-day term. There can never be between haircutting and haircutting less than 30 days. Ketzad, spell it out. If he first says, I'm a nozir, when I'll have a son. And then he says, I'm a nozir for 100 days. He didn't have a son. Because he didn't have a son, he began observing his 100 days. And then, mazel tov, he had a son. If when the son was born, he had from the 100, 30 days more left, or more left, then it's all good. Because as we learned earlier, the halacha is, he stops his naziris. As long as it was under 70 days of the 100, he stops his Naziris, and then he counts his son's Naziris, starts the new term. In this case, he does do the haircutting after his son's Naziris. Or maybe Karbonesim, and he brings the whole set of sacrifices, whose detail we did not yet learn, but we will. After a successful Naziris term, there is an entire set of sacrifices that are brought as part of the ritual. And then, then he finishes the balance of 30 days or more from his 100-day term. That's all providing that the baby was born up to 70 days in his 100-day term. Then he takes the hair-cutting ritual for the successful fulfillment completion of his Naziris. However, now comes the problem. If the baby was born, if he had a son, when there were less than 30 days left, for example, 80 days into his 100-day term, then we retroactively erase up to the 70 mark. So he only had a successful completion of 70 days. He now needs another 30. So therefore, he really observed 80 days. The 10 days from 80 to 70 are wiped out. Because we need to leave him with a 30-day minimum. Like I said, this will be appreciated by people with legal minds. Hey, Ketzad, how does this work? What if the baby was born on the 80th day? He must count the term that he undertook for his son. Why? Because he undertook that first. And now his son is born. That obligation came first. He finishes the term for his son. And he does the ritual haircutting and everything as we will study it. And he has to count another 30 days. So in fact, he will end up investing in his Naziris 100-day cycle, 110 days. 80 plus 30. Because 80 plus 20 doesn't work. Because there never is a 20. So therefore he lost 10 days of Nazirus, of his Nazirus observance, from 80 to 70. Shehem Yem Shivim Adablot, because he has to move back. He has to go in reverse to 70. And then he has to complete another 30. All other similar scenarios are the same. Vav 6. Here's an interesting scenario. And we learned similar scenarios in the case, in the law of divorce. If somebody said, I take upon myself to be a Nazir after 20 days, what do we assume? We assume that he says, I want 20 days to party. I'm going to drink wine. I'm going to dance in cemeteries. I need 20 days, and then I'm going to become a Nazir. The Chazav Yomar, and then he went and made another declaration. Maybe something happened in his life. A couple of minutes later, he made another declaration of Yomar, and he said, Hareini Nazir, I accept upon myself to be a Nazir. Me'ata, from now. Me'ayim, 100 days. So now we have two conflicting statements. One is, he's becoming a Nazir 20 days from now. The other is, he's becoming a Nazir now for 100 days. What do you do? Here he counts 20 days, and then he stops the observance of his 100-day period. Why? Because the first vow kicks in now, because 20 days are over, and that was first. And he begins to count 30 days for that first declaration, Shehi Anazira Shenodel Achar Esrim, which is the vow that he made to be a Nazir after 20 days pass. V'achar Ashleishim, and then that 30-day cycle passes successfully. Migaleach Tiglach Astara, he takes a haircutting. He goes through the ritual of the spiritual haircutting, of the haircutting of purity. Umevi Karbanosev, and he brings the set of sacrifices required for a Nazir, to bring a Nazir who completes his cycle. V'chezer Umeine Shmeinim Yeim, and then he counts another 80 days. In order to complete the 100, which was his second vow, and then he shaves again, or maybe Karbanosev, and he brings the second set. So what we have interesting in paragraph 6 is that his 100-day cycle is observed in two parts. 20 days, but then all he needs is another 80 days, even though in the middle he observed a 30-day cycle, cut his hair, brought sacrifices, he still can pick up where he left off. That's the chidush, the contribution, legally. Zayin, next scenario, Omar, he said, Hareini Nazir l'achar esrim yom, I take upon myself to be a Nazir in 20 days from now. V'hareini Nazir me'ato, and I also take upon myself a second vow to become a Nazir from now. That's a conflict. Me'in eshleishim yom, he has to count 30 days. He doesn't stop at 20. Earlier we learned in this similar scenario where it was 20 days from now I undertake to be a Nazir. And I take a second vow of 100 days. Earlier we learned he counts 20. Does the other one. Does the 30. Does the ritual. And then picks up the 80. But here when it's only 30 to begin with. Main Ishleshim Yem, he counts 30 days. Umigaleach Tiglach Astara, and he does his hair cutting. Vechezer Main Ishleshim Yem Acherim, and he does a second cycle of 30 days. Vianazir Shenodel Achar Asrim, fulfilling the vow that he made to be a Nazir after 20 days. Why? Why didn't we just stop at 20 as we did before? Shem Teimer Maina Esin Mepesa, because if you'll argue and say, wait a minute, he should have stopped at 20, that's a problem. And he counts 30 for the second vow. Cuts his hair. How many do you have left after 20 days on a 30-day vow? How many days do you have left? Only 10. If you have a 30-day vow, you observe 20. 30 minus 20 is 10. There's only 10 days left. 10 days is not a cycle. We learned earlier, you need a 30-day minimum. There never is between the ritual of haircutting of a state of purity and another ritual of haircutting of a state of purity less than 30 days. That's just the way it is. There can be between a haircutting of impurity and a haircutting of purity less than that, but we haven't really touched upon any of these details yet. Right now we're learning about conflicting vows and how we resolve them. Now the plot thickens. If somebody says, I take upon myself to be a nozer after 20 days, okay, that means if today is the 10th of the month, on the 30th of the month, he becomes a nozer. But immediately, b'chazar b'yomer, he makes a second declaration. Hareini nozer eila me'ata. I become an eternal nozer from this moment. If you become an eternal nozer from this moment, you can never take upon yourself a second vow. Because you're always a nozer. You never have that space. So what happens to his post-dated, 20-day post-dated vow? That vow never takes hold. Because from the moment he said, I am a nozer eternally, he becomes a nozer eternally. What happens to that vow? It remains in suspense. Because there is no space to become a nozer, even though that post-dated, 20-day post-dated vow was uttered first. But the second vow said, I'm a nozer now, and it's forever. Yud, Misha Amar, if somebody says, and here, again, it begins to get interesting. Hare ani nozer yeimecha defnei misasi. I make a vow that I'm becoming a nozer one day before I die. Okay. Do you know what day you're going to die? On the lighter side, Hitler came to a Jew. Hitler, yamach shmei. And he says, tell me, the Jews know everything. Do you know on what day I'm going to die? He says, yes. He says, okay, tell me, I'll let you live. He says, you're going to die on a Jewish holiday. He says, how do you know? What are you talking about? Prove it to me. He says, my dear friend, calm down. Any day that you die will be a Jewish holiday. So people don't know when they're going to die. If somebody takes upon himself to become a nozer a day before he dies, what does he do? From this moment on, he can't drink wine, he can't expose himself to death, he can't shave his hair, because he may die tomorrow. Yudalef, ha'emer areini nozer, b'yem sheben David bo, by a similar scenario, he says, I take upon myself to become a nozer the day that Mashiach comes. Now, what do we say in the Rambam's phraseology of the 13 principles of faith? Achakelo bechol yom sheyavo. I await his coming every day. Maybe Mashiach is coming today. Im bechel nodar, if that vow was made during a weekday, then he's forever forbidden to indulge in anything a Nazarite is forbidden to indulge in, such as wine drinking, exposure to death, haircutting. Why? Because Mashiach might come. And if Mashiach comes, then retroactively he's a nozer in the morning or the night before, the day. However, if he made this vow on a Shabbos, on a Shabbat, or on a festival, that day alone of Shabbos or Yom Tov, he may engage in all the activities that a Nazirite is prohibited to engage in. However, mikan ve'ilach, the following Shabbases or Yomim Tevim, Aser la'elam, he is always forbidden. What's the logic? Shadover sofet, because we're unsure, im yove b'Shabbos e'b'yom tev le'yove, if Mashiach can come on Shabbos or Yom Tov or not. And the Rebbe often quoted this, even though it's doubtful whether Mashiach can come on Shabbos or Yom Tov, the Rebbe would say, nevertheless, Mashiach will come, and when Mashiach comes, he'll answer all the difficult questions. The Rebbe would say, he'll answer this one also. V'hail v'hu safik, being that we're unsure, going back to the laws of vows of Nazir, b'yayim shenodar lechol ol of Nazirus, on the day of the vow, on Shabbos or Yom Tov, the Nazirus does not kick in. Shesopik Nazirus Lahoko. Because whenever there's a real doubt of Nazirus, we take the lenient approach. But Mikan Ve'ilach, but from now further, Cholol of Nazirus, it does kick in. V'Shabbos Habo, the next Shabbos, Shisopik, Einam Apkas, Nazirus Shecholol, we do not remove the Nazirus. We look in the commentaries here, and we say, what is the problem with Mashiach coming on Shabbos or Yom Tov? So this actually goes back to the laws of Shabbos, where we learned about carrying from domain to domain, that the carrying laws, the domain laws, do not apply if the person is carrying over 10 hand breadths up in the air. He's avoiding the domain radar. Now, when we learn about the laws of not violating Tchum Shabbos, the distance that one may walk outside the city limits of Shabbos, there's a question as to whether one walks above 10 hand breadths. He walks on a high wire. Whether that violates the law of Tchum. And being that Mashiach will come, presumably from heaven, so he's going to be walking above the 10 hand breadths from the earth. The question is, can he come on Shabbos or not? Other commentaries say this does not make sense, because the Rambam does not believe Mashiach will come from heaven. The Rambam gives a declaration in his last set of halachas that Mashiach will be a human being who will be the leader of the Jewish people, who will battle the wars against assimilation, will bring the Jewish people to Israel, will build the Beis HaMikdash, and that is Mashiach. So he's not coming from heaven, he's coming from earth. But anyway, that's just some background on the issue with Mashiach coming on Shabbos. Yud Beis 12, Nazir Shashomu Yem Nizirosei. What happens if a Nazir finishes Yemei Nizirosei, the days of his term, whether it was a 60-day term, or a 30-day term, or a 60-year term, he finished. And he did not do the ritual of the hair cutting, as we will learn the detail of it upcoming. And commentaries say he also didn't bring the sacrifices. He didn't do the whole ritual to proclaim an end to this period. Then he can't take a regular haircut, he can't drink wine, he can't be exposed to death, because the cycle does not officially come to an end until he does the ritual haircutting and sacrifices. Behold, digduke nazirus, all of all the details of this Nazirite vow still remain upon him. V'im gilach, and if he took a regular haircut, a shasa yain, or drank wine, a nitam, or exposed himself to death, lokya, he is still liable to receive lashes, provided that all of the conditions of witnesses and warning kick in. Yud gimel, mishen nader ben nazir v'dama shein a neder. What if somebody made a vow to become a nazir, but he thought it wasn't a neder, he thought it wasn't a vow? V'hayonayig heter ben nidre b'shasa yayin, and he just acted normally and drank wine. He thought this whole Nazirite business is not a vow. He took it lightly. Lachazman, time went on, Shoal Lechocham, he went to a scholar, a sage, and he said, listen, Mr. Sage, Parsley Sage, this is what happened. Veheiro, and the sage instructed him. Shuneder, he said, what you talking about? Of course it's a vow. Vishuchayeb ben Aziris, and the sage ruled that he has to observe the laws of Nazir. The problem is some time already elapsed from the time of his vow, where he was lenient. Lenient is an easy word. Where he was not observing. Still, he observes and counts from the moment of his vow. So, let's spell it out. Man takes a vow that he's going to be a Nazir for 30 days. Doesn't really know the severity of it. And for 10 days, he's frolicking and drinking wine in bars and dancing in cemeteries and taking haircuts twice a day. And then 10 days later, he comes to a rabbi, and the rabbi, he says, Rabbi, you know, I made this kind of Nazirite declaration. Does it mean anything? And the rabbi says, of course, you're a Nazir. But now he only has 20 days left. So the answer is, he counts the first 10, even though he didn't observe them. or midibri sofrim, from rabbinic law, it's better sheyinag yisur kayam shenag b'mehetra, that he makes up the 10 days. But that's rabbinic law. But from biblical law, he only has to complete the term. Ketzad, spell it out. Hareshen nader shleishim yemi, made a vow to be a nazir for 30 days. V'nag hetta benidre asar yamen, for 10 days, he did not observe it properly. V'nag yisur esem yem, 20 days, he did. Olachar shleishim, and after 30. His scenario is he went to the rabbi after 30 days. Shalach chacham ba'asar le'en, he came to a wise man. He said, of course, you're a nazir, and he's a main asar yam mishem shishol. Then he counts 10 days from the day he asked the question. Keneged asar shenag b'mehetra, corresponding to the 10 that he didn't observe properly. That's the rabbinic observance. Vimshasa egilach enitma basar yam avelu. And if he did not observe this rabbinic observance, he says, I don't care. And he drank wine, and he took haircuts, and he went to cemeteries, and was not observant of the rabbinic declaration here, makanese makas mardus, then there could be a rabbinic application of rabbinic lashes. Tesva bamed, when does this apply? Benaziris muetas, with a limited naziris, avon benaziris meruba, but with a large volume of days, dayesh and ishleshim b'yem benaziris, we're happy if he'll conduct himself for a full 30 days with proper naziris, apapi sha'avar al nazirus, yamruba kol yomav, even though he violated this large nazirus all of his life. For example, he took a vow to become a nazir for 50 years. And he didn't take it seriously. As long as we can get the last 30 days okay, it's okay. But if he didn't, ein niskokin leklau, then we should not pay attention to him. In other words, if he comes and he says to the rabbis, please retroactively release my vow, we should not make it easy for him, we shouldn't deal with him. Because he was just blatantly irresponsible. Tezayin kol beizdin sheniskokin lozeh, okayetzebozeh, and any court who deals with a person like this is not good. Omeidin le'elishim mezalzom in adorim, we inform people who take a light-hearted approach to vows, she'ein chayav min ha'teiro, where they're not obligated to keep them by Torah law. Eshiyedu lahem lahakalor, who give people instruction to be lenient. Eshib tchulam pesach, any bezin that treats this type of person who is wantonly unobservant after he knows that he should be observant of the vow, and the court helps him, menadnei se bezin ahedyin, then that is obviously a bad court, and the court should be ostracized, because the court is not taking seriously rabbinic law. Yud Zayin, the 17th and last paragraph. Ha'isha shenodra b'nazirus. What if a woman makes a pledge, a vow of nazirus, to become a Nazirite? Now, we learned earlier that a woman may make a vow, but being that the vow can either harm her or get in the way of the intimacy relationship between her and her husband, her husband can nullify it if he chooses to. But here's the story of a woman who became a nazir, v'shom u yemei naziris, and the term of her vow went complete. V'heviya korban eseo, and she even brought her sacrifices. We are soon going to learn about the minimum of three sacrifices that have to be brought at the end of the term, and how it works, and so on and so forth. We haven't dealt with these details yet. V'nishchata achas min ha-behemes, and one of these sacrifices were already slaughtered. And what is the main aspect of sacrifice? Sprinkling of the blood. V'nizreg doma, in fact, its blood was sprinkled. So we have one out of three sacrifices which has been completed. Two to go. One down, two to go. Remember, she completed her term. Yachakach shama bailo, and all of a sudden her husband got wind of the fact that she was a nozir. Apa pishadayin legilcha, even though she did not yet cut her hair, because that comes a little bit later. Eina yachala hafer, now the husband can no longer nullify, because that one sacrifice was brought and the blood sprinkled on the altar. But if the husband heard about it and wants to nullify it before the sprinkling of the blood, he may. When does this apply? If she completed her cycle properly, and if she came to the Beis HaMikdash to do the ritual of hair cutting in a state of purity. But if she tripped up and she became impure through exposure to death in the middle of the cycle, b'tiglachas tuma in the cycle, she became impure, yofer, then the husband may nullify her declaration of Nazirite vow. A hair cutting of impurity also requires certain sacrifices, but it's different. But still, she already brought her sacrifices, but now she has to go back and resume or do the vow again. She has to go and observe it again. Here the husband has a right to declare his nullification. End of chapter 4.